The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Sorry, we missed last week. That was on me. I passed away.
What do you mean?
It was unintentional. Oof, man. We don't like to miss episodes, but that one was not getting recorded whether I wanted to or not.
Oh, what happened? Well, I know what happened.
Well,
I story what
happened. Remember how our last episode you began with an anecdote about vomiting? Let me just leave it at that.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was fine. I was in San Diego all week for a campaign shoot, and I, was so excited to come home on Friday night and have dinner, go out, start a three-day weekend. What a great way to come off it all. When I tell you, midnight hit, and my weekend was a wrap. So I'll spare everyone the gory details, but I was down for the count. I was so weak and exhausted, I couldn't even look at my phone. And you know that I'm sick when I can't do that. So
damn.
It was crazy. I think I was even so out of it when I texted you like, hey, I don't think I can do this today. I didn't even realize the gravity of how sick I was. I was just like, I feel really crazy.
I thought you got by the flu that's getting everyone.
No, I got by food poisoning.
No. Oh, the fucking worst.
Yeah, I know. And then, never mind. But we're back. It was really, truly only a one-day thing. But I was so weak and lethargic the second day by not having been able to eat or drink anything. Or, I could smell, but I didn't want to smell anything. I the night I got sick, I had worn, what's it fucking called from Fugazi Meth Lab?
And that Angel Dust, yeah.
Angel Dust. I like that fragrance, actually. I liked it more this time around, but...
not anymore. Oh, no. Wait, who did it to you? Who gave you the food poisoning? Call them out.
I don't want to name them, but they are a new restaurant in Greenpoint, and I will not be returning. I will not be darkening their door.
Not a new restaurant. Come on. You can't be poisoning.
I know. I'm like, you have
you
one job.
You can't be
job.
Poisoning people right out of the gate.
No.
That's crazy.
Absolutely not.
I still hold a grudge against the place that food poisoned me. I wish for their demise the way they almost killed me. So I think that's fair.
And my stupid ass is like, let's go to the new. It was, of course, just cold as shit out. And I was like, let's go to the new place. Let's support local business. It just opened. Got my ass.
I got Miguel.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Diva.
So we were recording remotely tonight. And I miss my sister.
I just assumed after you got back from your work trip, I was like, he got by that flu. He got on a plane and they got him.
No, and my anxious ass masked both ways. Yeah. Just because it's really going around out here. And I was like, you're not going to catch me slipping. And listen, I slipped.
I mean, well, not from that.
Yeah, true.
I always, to me, it's default now to mask on planes.
Not to anyone else.
Truly.
I'm doing this podcast by candlelight like our ancestors. I'm burning the new French chocolate from Net.
Oh, it's so good.
It's so good.
Every time I burn it, though, I'm like, I need a dessert right now.
Oh, my God. I know. I'm so hungry.
Yeah. I'm like, I need a cake right now.
I thought it was interesting because I don't think we've talked about this on the show. I think we meant to, but we didn't.
We might have.
I think we talked about it before we started recording.
Maybe. Yeah.
You know, we've never repeated ourselves. It's a little more sort of I don't want to call it one note, but sort of a more specific concept than Net usually does. I mean, my favorite Net candle scent is Another Life, which you can't get more sort of heady and ethereal than that. But French chocolate is exactly that. And I wasn't quite sure what I was getting myself into. And it is the most delicious chocolate candle I have truly ever smelled. Not that I have smelled 1,000 chocolate candles, but you know when you eat a chocolate something, but you know that there's a little bit of vanilla in it and it's meant to pull through. It's like doing that. Oh my God, it's so good.
There's definitely something like a vanilla cake under it. Mm-hmm. It's so good.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Carol Hahn, come to the front.
I can't burn it in the daytime because it's too distracting. Because then the whole time I'm like, well, I have to get a treat now. I have to leave whatever it is I'm doing to get a treat.
Yes, and that is the only time during the day that you've ever said that is when you burn this nut candle.
Well, that's why.
Fair.
Anyway, Tynan, what do you smell like today?
Hey, girl.
What?
I smell like the new Kylie Cosmetic Cosmic Intense.
I knew you were going to say that.
Because if we know one thing about these goddamn Kylie fragrances is that they're good. Okay, sorry. To handle it with someone else.
They're like fembot fragrances. They're like meant.
Totally.
They're made in a lab to be hot.
That's exactly. Literally. Yeah. How I described it today was how we always say the original Cosmic was truly just, you know, literally and figuratively formulated in a lab to be a crowd pleaser. And mm-hmm. I think Cosmic 2.0, the one in the chrome squishy orb, is not so sinister in that way. It's a little bit more unique. It's a little bit more pear nectar, still just as nice. I really love them both. You can't not love them. I'm sorry. But I'm interested in what is transpiring with Kylie Cosmetics Cosmic Intense, because it is sort of shameless in what it's doing, but it's doing it in a really nice way. They basically just heighten the vanilla. The notes called out on the pack are, fuck, I threw it away, some iteration of jasmine, amber, and vanilla. And the build of it, it opens with star jasmine and blood orange. The heart is golden amber, benzoin, and the base is vanilla and musk. So it sort of throws a lot of what it was doing out the window just in favor of vanilla and amber and this big sort of golden drippy fantasy. It's really nice. I think it's probably the most minimal of the three. It's
interesting.
Very warm. It's a nice vanilla with a warm rounded spice to me. And it's certainly, I think, the most simplistic of the three. And
it sounds like I would like this one the most.
I wonder. And the other two surprised me by, one, even though it was just created to check every box, how well it did so. The second, how it sort of took what the first one did and evolved it in a way that was a little bit more singular. And this one feels like a little bit of a swerve, or like it just took the grounding, sweeter bass notes and really just focused on those, which I suppose is exactly what it did. But it's nice. What I think I'm a little thrown by is, to me, this is the quietest on skin, which is odd because it's an intense, you know? So I thought, I mean, there was no way you can get more intense than the first one. That shit is loud. Yeah. This one, I do find, wears closest to skin. And I don't know. It's like in a sort of fire engine red component with the slightest undertone of orange. It's very exciting, very sexy. I am excited by it. I think it's great. I think if you are a fan of the Kylie franchise, which I was doing some digging, and even the perfume girls were like it or not, these are good. Get over it. I'd have to agree. I think it's definitely worth a smell. And I think it's a nice, almost more approachable addition to the collection if the first two are a little too loud for you. So I love it.
I knew you would. I'm curious now that you've said it's like the quietest or most streamlined one.
I know exactly how you would react and what you would say.
I got that press email and I was like, another one? I know what this is going to smell like.
That's exactly. See, it did take me by surprise by its minimalist quality and its quietness. I'm not going to say it's going to like blow your fucking mind.
Yeah.
You are going to say exactly what you just said. But I do think it's a different
sniff,
you know?
Yeah. I was just like, I didn't see the point in them sending it to me for me to just sniff it.
Yeah.
you know?
Fair. That's fair.
I was like, I'll smell it on Tynan. I know he's going to get it.
and I did, and you will. Sable, what do you smell like today?
Okay, so I feel like you got these a while ago. Est and I just forgot where I put them. But I smell like Dancing. Dancing is the name of the perfume brand.
Oh, let's fucking go.
Gnarly Vines is the fragrance. I didn't say them together because then I would have just said Dancing Gnarly Vines. And I'm like, no, they're not dancing.
I know the name's tricky.
Yeah, I feel like the names are a little bit more like personality hires, if that makes any sense. But this is so lovely. It's like a really dewy, green, nectary ylang ylang. I think I got a lot of ylang ylang, which now that I'm looking at the bill, it is in the dry down, but it's not. It's like at the bottom of the list. I kind of assumed that because it's called Vines, like it would be a green kind of crisp, you know, vegetal scent.
Mm-hmm.
And I was surprised at how nectary and dewy and sweet and petally it is. It's really pretty. It's like,
is this a little figgy too, or am I wrong?
It's a little figgy. They have fig leaf in there. They call out California lemon, bergamot, coconut, fig leaf, Egyptian jasmine, absolute, tuberose absolute, heliotrope, juniper, geranium, cedarwood, ylang ylang, amber, sandalwood, bourbon, vanilla, and white musk. That's a lot. Mm-hmm. So it's like a green floral, I guess. Yeah, that's correct. But it's so nectary and juicy. It sort of reminds me a little bit of the early 2000s aquatic florals, but it's a little sweeter and dewier.
Oh,
it's really pretty.
Okay.
Yeah.
I really liked this one too. I mean, I really liked all three. I thought they were very differentiated. They very much had their own something to say. I thought this one was nice too. I like this sort of sweet, juicy, green dewiness that you just described.
Yeah. I liked Scorch Wood, which I knew you wore on the pod a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
I don't know about Midnight Crush. It is giving a little bit grape flavored Robitussin.
They're a winery. Let them grape out, girl.
I smell like cough medicine. Which honestly, not a bad thing. I like the flavor.
Oh, God. Well, Sable's drinking lean.
Well, you know what? They shouldn't make it taste so good if, you know, you don't want children to chug Robitussin.
What kind of cough medicine are you drinking anyway?
The same that all of America is. But I didn't realize that grape flavor is based on Concord grapes, not red grapes. And that's why.
Which ones are Concord? The purple ones?
They're purple, but they're opaque purple.
Hmm.
And they're really, really sweet. So anything that's like grape flavored candy is based off of the Concord grape, which is the wine grapes, not like the red grapes that you get in stores.
Oh, got it.
Yeah. And I didn't learn that until like later on in life. And I was like, this grape tastes like a Jolly Rancher. And they're like, that's because Jolly Ranchers are flavored after these grapes.
Hmm.
Little did I know.
Good to know.
Yeah. But I really like Gnarly Vines. It's really pretty. I guess I wasn't expecting, I think just because in my brain, I was like, this is going to be like a green vegetal, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's so pretty.
Mm-hmm.
I did that thing where I sprayed it on a blotter, put it on the side of my desk, and then was walking in and out of my little office. Oh. And then I was like, ooh, what's that smell?
Sable, I did the stupidest thing. I'm just now realizing.
Oh.
I thought the dancing publicist was inviting me to dinner, but she was trying to confirm a date for the podcast, and I confirmed it.
Wait, what?
So now we have a date for the show, and I'm not going to dinner. Well.
Whoops. Why did you think it was dinner?
Because she also invited me to dinner.
Oh, okay. Well, you should just reply and be like, so excited to see you for dinner. Where are we going?
It's on me for not reading the goddamn thread. Okay. It's fine. I am a little mad at myself for being so ill this weekend because since everyone's posting their 2016 photos, which you could not catch me doing,
no.
I wanted to do sort of a like 2016 episode. But if we could do a really quick lightning round, what were you wearing in 2016? I'll go first. Marc Jacobs Decadence.
I knew it. I fucking knew it. I remember 2016 as the end of EXO Vain. I don't know why that year is just like logged into my brain that way.
Because it's trauma.
It's factual. It was like the one big event because I was like, shit, I need a job now.
Right.
I mean, I was still wearing a shit ton of stuff, but I do remember wearing the Byredo Unnamed scent.
Oh, yeah.
I think it re-released around that time. And then The Harmonist, if we remember that brand.
Who the hell are they? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think they launched around that time, and they had that whole, like, kind of yin-yang thing that wasn't... It was, like, a nice concept, but it wasn't quite anything.
Sure.
But sure. The one that they connected to me was the... It was called, like, Sacred Fire, something fire.
Magnetic Fire?
Or, like, Velvet Fire? I don't know. It was the black bottle that said fire, and it's so fucking good. It's Hypnotizing Hypnotic Fire. Yes.
No, you're right. Hypnotizing Fire.
Hypnotizing Fire. A banger. So fucking good.
Oh my God. Like a banger of the ages.
Yeah. Yeah. I still have the bottle somewhere, but.
You can still get the Harmonist though.
No, you can. I was just at
Bergdorf's and I saw the.
Yeah. Collection. They launched and then they got really quiet and then they relaunched slightly less quietly. I don't know I don't know what happened with them, but.
That Hypnotizing Fire though still gets me together to this day. It's really good. And what else is really good is Alloy Studios, our guest today. We have been fans of Alloy. I mean, fans of the brand from the beginning. I made it a point to get into them last year. I felt that they were a blind spot for me. And they were nice enough to hit me with a discovery set of their 4 scents. And I've talked about Silver Haze on the show in a little editorial. It's been definitely one of my favorites I've discovered last year. And I was lucky enough to meet Bryson by total happenstance. Well, a couple times last year, but I ran into him, had a cute conversation and just sort of was like, why don't you come on the show? And we chatted through timing and you'll see why in a minute, but it turns out end of January is a really good time to come on. So we don't want to blow up anyone's spot here, but.
So we'll just get to it.
I'm Bryson. I'm the perfumer of the Alloy Studio.
And I'm Eddie. I'm the creative director of Alloy Studio.
And we're partners.
Excellent.
We can cut this out. But one time someone asked my lesbian coffee shop bosses, partners in business, partners in life.
Both.
Everything.
Both. Everything.
Amazing. It was a cop who asked that. So we had to answer very carefully.
What did it say? And, partners in business or partners in life?
Yes. And they were both too. So.
I feel like it's always kind of both, whether you like it or not.
Right, right. I also like how I said that, like it was the 1960s. I'm very young. So we like to start off every episode by asking our guests, what do you smell like today? Bryson, let's start with you.
Oh my God. I smell like conditioner. I just washed my hair.
Nice.
Ooh. I didn't wear any perfume today.
Such a classic perfumer response.
I mean, like, it's true. Yeah. Eddie literally just bought me a perfume for Christmas, and they're a little mad because I'm not wearing it, but it's because I've been testing perfumes, so I can't.
Can you say what the perfume gift was?
Oh, it was Bast from Anti.
Oh, I just became acquainted with them.
Yeah.
And so did everyone else.
Yes.
I know, right?
That's me.
I know, right? But you have bought it for me, and then I went to go to Stell to smell the rest of them, and they're all so good. But I do like the one that I have.
Nice. I have Nashi Toro.
That one was good. Which,
yeah, it's like the white rice one, mm-hmm. which I liked. Bast is the Turkish rose one, is that right?
It's the like Egyptian amber in incense.
Ooh, yeah, that one was good. That one was good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Eddie, what do you smell like today?
Oh, today I'm wearing Silver Haze. I'm always wearing Silver Haze. It's like my go-to.
Nice.
Yeah.
You got a rep.
I got it right here.
Where we have it. I love to see it.
In the building.
Yeah.
So can you give us a little background about Alloy before we get in deep with it?
Yeah. I mean, like, super basics. We're an independent perfume brand. We're based in New York, in Queens specifically. It's just me and Eddie right now. We do everything. I'm the perfumer, so I make everything you smell. Eddie's a creative director, so he makes everything you see. The brand started out of both of us coming together and just wanting to make fragrances that we truly felt like were interesting and make things that we weren't seeing at the time and still aren't seeing. I started learning perfumery in 2020. Right when lockdown happened, I used to be an esthetician, and my ambition used to be to have my own skincare brand because I just thought that was the move. At the time, there were so many indie skincare brands on Twitter. I was a huge Twitter person. All the girls making their bars of soap, and I was like, oh my God, I want to do that. But as I was making things in my living room and I was making moisturizers and like face mist, I found that the part of that process I enjoyed the most was fragrancing everything. So I just started to go down the fragrance rabbit hole, looked at YouTube videos to just try to figure out how to even start and just do some research. And then once lockdown happened, it really gave me a lot of time. And at the time, it gave me a lot of extra money to do it. So I bought my first fragrance materials and started making things. Didn't start taking it serious until a couple years later, where we both moved to New York. We're both from Illinois. I'm from like rural Illinois.
Eddie is from Michigan. So am I.
I'm from Illinois. I hate that by your phone number. I'm not going to say that. Where from?
Rockford, Illinois.
Shout out. God. Yeah, I'm from Joliet.
Okay.
Yeah. That's so funny.
God, that's crazy.
These words mean nothing to me, but I'm so happy for you guys.
Didn't start making perfume or taking my studies seriously until we moved here. I think it was like the first Christmas we moved here. Yes. Eddie got me my first starter perfumery kit. And I really just started to make things every day and try to learn a lot more. Still YouTube University, but I also found some books online and just read through those. I was all on the Base Notes forum, where there's a lot of different perfumers and hobbyists that it's like Reddit for perfumery. And I was practicing for a couple of years until I made a couple of things that were good and felt good. Then I tried to make my own brand and it wasn't looking right. So that's where Eddie came in and he was like, let me help you make this something. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're like definitely like a funny journey, because like when we moved to New York, I started off becoming a nail tech, and I was in school for like a month to 2 months, and I was like, I actually hate this. Like, I do not want to do this anymore. And so then Bryson was kind of creating his brand at that time. And so like when I was kind of done with my nail tech journey, I was like, okay, damn, what is next for me? And so then I was like kind of helping Bryson out a little bit, like on his visuals for his brand. And then at what point I was like, do we just do this together? I'm like, I'm doing a lot of the visuals at this point. So I was like, is it going to be joint now? And then it kind of was born from there.
Yeah. We were kind of learning things at the same time.
Yeah.
And then came together at the same time.
Yeah.
At the end of that learning. It was interesting.
Meant to be.
Literally.
I'm so curious. What was it about nail tech studies that you were like, fuck this?
So when I was going to school, they were like teaching very like how to become like a manicurist, so like how to work at a salon, and like my whole thing, I was like, I want to do like drag queen nails, like I want to do like the long ass extendos, the crazy long crazy nails. And then I was just like, I don't want to just do red manicures and like you know. So I already knew like the outcome of that. I was like, I feel like I'm wasting my time and low-key my money at this point,
because
I don't see like just working inside the salon, and they kind of like teach you to become a salon worker. Yeah, so at that point, I was just kind of like over it. And like, I was still doing nails. I did like still like press-ons for like my friends and for like photo shoots and things like that. But I just knew I just did not want to become like a nail tech at that point.
I totally get that. Yeah, that makes a lot of
sense. And Eddie's nails were fabulous.
Yeah.
Like, he used to practice on me. So I would literally just walk around with, I didn't have all of my nails done. I asked like, can you just keep these like literally, so I can function?
Yeah.
So I would have long nails on my pinky and my ring finger and my thumb, or just my pinky and my ring finger, whatever. But Eddie kind of became that girl with nails. Like, his friends just really wanted their nails done all the time. But the skill transferred, because Eddie does all of the nails for our photo shoots.
Yes, nails and glam still. So
it kind of, it's a full circle thing.
I mean, there's so many hands in perfume imagery, so that makes so much sense.
Exactly.
Yeah, the visuals look really impactful. Like, I get who you are from the images, which I really admire. I love a vision.
Same.
Thank you. We do so.
I think on that note, I would love to sort of know, from an indie brand, or really any brand at this point, Alloy Studio has some of the most thought out and immersive creative campaigns in perfume, easily, I would say. Definitely the most color. And, you know, it's just as much about the styling and the glam and the model as it is about the perfume, but it's all in service of the perfume. It doesn't take away. Can you, Eddie, talk about sort of your vision and your process there, how you come up with all of that and why it is so important to the work?
Yeah, for sure. So I would say it's just like, I think it's very big for us for like the storytelling aspect of it. Like for me, I was never really interested in fragrances. So when I think about a fragrance, like, I don't know, I'm not necessarily thinking about like the actual notes or something. I'm thinking more of like the feeling, the vibe that I get from it. So I think that's kind of like why me and Bryson also work so well for Alloy. Cause like Bryson talks about like the notes and, you know, just like very detailed on that. And like, for me, I'm thinking about like the feeling, the vibe. And I feel like since we are able to come together, we just kind of like bridge those two things for Alloy. But also within that, I think the brand overall, we really want to prioritize having like queer, trans, Black people at the forefront of the brand. So I think like a lot of our photo shoots that we do, a lot of them, they're always queer or they're trans. And, you know, I think that's kind of something that we always want to prioritize. And I think that's something that I'm like always kind of leaning into that and how to bring in like the queer community. And again, just showcasing things that are not usually showcased in the fragrance world.
Yeah. To Eddie's point, it's just like you don't really see people like us being represented in perfume campaigns often. So once we made our own brand, we really just wanted to make our own platform for that as well. And it just works perfectly with everything because for us, the campaigns are truly just a way to tell our story or tell the story of the fragrance through beauty, through fashion, and through setting too.
And I think we kind of like, Alloy was kind of like brought up during a time where like everything was minimal. It was all Black and white. And like, I knew as like someone who is like a consumer who shops, like that was never something that interested me. Like I was like, why does all these brands have to be like so simple, so minimal, down to the fragrances, down to the photo shoots? So I think we've always wanted to like make something different for the fragrance world.
Nice.
Do you think, how do I want to phrase this question? I've been thinking a lot about like, if a perfume, this is not going to come out right. If a perfume could be queer, or, you know, if just, I've been thinking a lot about Mugler Angel. And I think from the bottle to the build, obviously to its creator, to, you know, the brand history, I think all of it is so queer. And I think if there is any sort of legacy fragrance that would be queer, which are obviously few and far between, it would be that. I think it's what Sable and I lovingly refer to as like a shit on shit fragrance. It's just like they didn't say no to anything. It's like all about indulgence and you know, sweetness and not saying no, always saying yes. How do you approach Alloy? And I'm not asking if it's like a queer brand, but like, does, and of course queerness would inform the work, but what do you think of like, can a fragrance be inherently queer? Does that make any goddamn sense?
No, it really does. And it's so funny. I actually talk about this a lot in like my friend group of other perfumers too in New York, one of which is Noah from Emphora. I mean, his tagline for their fragrances is literally queer-hearted fragrance. I do think it can be, seriously. And I think it reads when people smell the fragrances and also when they see and engage with the brand too. Even if it's someone that has like no idea, they're gonna be like, there's something different about absolutely think that's a thing. And it's truly down to the intent of the maker, I feel.
Yeah.
You can always feel that if it's baked in. And I feel like we do that because we also do have people all the time tell me, like whenever I'm like talking to people, I used to work at a perfume store. So I would run into people really often because it's like fragrance enthusiasts. And then they're like, oh, you have a brand. And then we just start talking and they're like, your fragrances smell Black. And I'm like, work. Like, no. So I do think it reads to people, you know, you can really tell where something comes from by sitting with it and engaging with it meaningfully. Similarly to how you do with Angel, you know, like it feels correct for that to be a queer fragrance if you understand that experience and if you look into the maker, the brand, the make of the fragrance.
Okay, that makes me feel better.
I always think it's so funny when very buttoned up straight men wear Angel. And I'm like, you?
It's hilarious. Like, how did you come across this?
Yeah. I was like, what? Why? Just what? I mean, like, I'm happy for you, but I'm just so curious.
No, it's like definitely like a queer person or like woman fragrance. Like, I know so many ladies that have loved Angel for decades.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Specifically, I know a lot of lesbians who always name check Angel.
Yeah.
Because Sable and I are nosy and we talk a lot about the fragrances that we came up with, we always want to know throughout your life what fragrances were impactful to you. They don't have to be perfume. They can be, you know, the smell of coffee or asphalt, whatever it was. I think we all have a very visceral sense memory of something that we smelled growing up. And we always like to turn that over to the guests.
Yeah. It's so funny because we talk about this all the time, but we're not scent memory people, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Like, I just can't think of any times where I was growing up and I was like, oh, I just remember the smell of the flowers outside my home. I more so remember the actual fragrances that I was like young and being exposed to. Mostly because of my mom and my dad, like both of them instilled in me growing up grooming. I was very much the kid where like you have to pick your clothes out the night before and they have to be ironed and you have to smell good. So I bought you this and you're going to wear it. And that's kind of how I got into caring about fragrance at all. So a lot of my scent memories are directly tied to the fragrances that I would wear when I was younger. I used to love Curve in the green ombre, like brown bottle. It was so good.
Yes.
What else did I used to wear? I used to wear 360 Red. I used to wear 360 Black. But the fragrances that really just trigger something in my brain are always like the fresh, dewy, aquatic florals of like the early 2000s and the 90s.
Yep.
My mom used to wear Issey Miyake. Mm-hmm. I always remember, like, I can smell it as soon as I walk in the vicinity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, as you're saying that, I can, like, picture the frosted translucent glass.
Yeah, like, that's
so many iconic. Bottles were, like, the frosted clear glass.
They're so chic. I wish they, I wish I would see more.
Bring honestly. Them back.
I mean,
totally. No, literally.
And then, yes, kind of the same thing for me. Like, my grandma, she had, like, kind of, like, severe asthma, and like, my mom had, like, really bad allergies. So they were never like fragrance people. If they did wear fragrance, they were like lotion, like Versace lotion, that type of thing. But like, I would say what I remember was definitely just like coffee. My grandma was a big coffee drinker. She would always wake up in the morning. Like, I don't think there has ever been a time where she did not have coffee in the morning. So definitely like coffee. But what really got me into fragrances, when I was working at Nordstrom in Chicago and Glossier did their pop-up for Glossier U at Nordstrom. And that was literally like the first fragrance that I like fell in love with. I was like, oh my god, like, what is this? And literally my first time smelling it, and since I was working at Nordstrom, I got my discount, so I remember buying two full-size bottles immediately, and I was like, I love this. But yeah, I think that was kind of like the first fragrance that I like bought for myself and like actually felt comfortable wearing too.
Okay. And finished those full bottles within like 6 months,
literally.
Whoa.
it was a hit.
I can't remember like any perfume that I've like fully finished.
Oh, wow.
I might have gotten like down to like an inch, maybe. But
I've been seeing that conversation a lot lately, actually, on TikTok. I've seen a couple of people make videos like, I'm going to only wear these fragrances until they're empty.
Because I love that.
And I'm like, that's fab. I like that a lot. I think we should all try to do that more.
Yeah. Wear your shit.
Yeah.
Literally wear it. Your home is just flammable for no reason. Seriously, when you think about it, the amount of perfume that we have in our houses is crazy.
You know what? I haven't thought about that, and I'm really glad that my insurance doesn't know that either.
I feel like that's why people don't think about it, you know, because it is kind of,
Because Sable always leaves candles going. She's like living in a stick of dynamite.
Listen, I get it.
So bad.
We used to be that, but now we're more like incense people. Yeah. It's a little less.
I'm both.
Like, I have to watch it, you know.
Right.
Wait, so I do have a question for you guys. As you guys are like fragrance collectors, what is like a good size for you guys? 50 ml, 30, 10? What is like your go-to fragrance size that you guys think is good?
We've been like going back and forth on this.
I love a 10 ml, honestly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because it takes a while to get through a 10 ml.
Yeah.
Especially when you have a lot and you're just like kind of choosing a different one every day. I still like, I haven't finished a 10 ml ever that I can think of. Because I just have so many perfumes. So I never have to stick to one. But if ever we get, I mean, because we do get sent a lot of fragrances. Mm-hmm. I will usually opt for the travel size because I don't have room to put all these bottles.
Yeah. I mean, I would like to answer that question, understanding that we are beauty editors and we do get all of this shit sent to us. Yeah. But even in the event that we were not, I think a safe bet is always like a 30 to start, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Or even the 10, and if I were to wear through a 10, I know I could commit to a bottle, you know? I think 30 is all you need. I don't know, though. Like, people are out here doing 35 sprays in the morning, and they'll hold them on 30 and be like, this lasted me 2 weeks. I'm like, you're not helpful to be around, you know?
No, that's so true. I guess it just depends on what kind of user you are. Like, if you like to have one thing every day, then I'm sure like a bigger bottle is great. But I just feel like who wants 100 ml anymore? If you're like a perfume enthusiast, assuming you have multiple options, it's like, when are you going to go through that? Yeah.
But you never know when something's going to get discontinued. And if you always live in fear and panic like I do,
that's
get
true.
The 100 mils of everything you love. So
that's true. That does happen a lot.
I think with the margins, because the way perfume is priced, like the what you're paying for 50 mls versus 100, which is literally double, most people end up buying the 100 just because it's a better bang for your buck.
That's true.
Even if they don't finish it. But like when I look at the prices between certain brands that have a 30 and then a 50 and then a 100, I'm like, you guys are making so much money.
On the little, absolutely. I mean, I used to work at a perfume store and I worked at multiple, and you would think people would like get the value proposition of if you love it and you're gonna wear it every day, get the 100 ml.
Yeah.
But they would not go for it. They're like, oh my gosh, I'm intimidated.
Right.
And I understand that.
Yeah.
But
it's the type of shopper you are, you know?
Yeah.
I wasn't making commission ever, so I really didn't care.
Oh my gosh. I love asking this of people who've also worked retail, like specific niche retail, that like, what's the first thing that comes to your mind of what most people who walk into a perfume shop would ask for or do that you're like, please don't do that?
There's multiple. I've been out of the game for a minute, a little second now.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's just, I kind of know that person that comes in and they're like, I just want something fresh. And I'm like, so you want the bestseller? Or in that case, you just want like a citrus something. Or they ask for coffee beans. And I always teeter the line of like, do I educate or do I let them be? I usually just let people be because they never believe me for some reason.
That they don't. They're
even though I'm a perfumer, but I'm like, hey, they don't know that, and I'm not going to explain it to them.
Do you think most people go in knowing what they want, or do you think that they want to be shown what they want?
I think people definitely come into a perfume store with an idea of what they want most of the time. Mm-hmm. When they don't, that's usually when they're that person that's like, "What's your best seller?" Like to me, that's always a sign of like you want to be shown. You're just asking for like the best seller so you can kind of get some footing.
Yeah.
But that's usually when I would be like, well, what do you like? And like, what do you want to smell like? Mm-hmm. You know?
Right.
Yeah. I feel like it's intimidating to walk into a perfume store.
Totally.
Regardless. I think there's a lot of really good stores, but there's definitely like some spooky stores still.
Depending on the store, it can be very intimidating.
Yeah.
I'll name them.
I was a mean shop girl, so I don't blame anybody. But people are rude to me first. That's my rule. If you're rude to me first, you're getting it straight back.
Of course.
Yeah. And then they're like shocked. They're scandalized.
Do you find that the proliferation of all this fragrance content on TikTok has changed the way that people shop, or like the normal day-to-day experience of working at a perfume store? Do people come in with different vocabulary or a different maybe objective, or is it just same?
I was expecting it to change a lot more than it did. But the really interesting thing about it was just the type of person that would come in. I feel like because of TikTok and just fragrance content on the internet, so many more people that you just normally would not see in a perfume store have started to go to the perfume stores. I would be at work and every day I'm seeing like 12, 13, 14 year old boys. I'm just like, oh, and you have like Parfum de Marly bottles ready. And it's like, oh, it's crazy.
That's scary.
I think it's diversified the person that can enjoy perfume. I feel like that's a great thing. The entire industry is kind of coming up because of that.
Yeah.
Perfume is becoming much more of a mainstay in people's lives rather than something super excessive.
Yeah.
Specifically, totally. More niche, interesting perfumes are becoming more of a mainstay. People are learning that there's more out there and perfume can be something else to them other than a smell good.
It's about time.
There's a long way to go. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I talk to my parents about this all the time, but they will go on our website and they're just like, your stuff is so expensive. And I'm like, it's really not.
It's really not.
For being honest. So but that's just because the average person still just has no idea about this world. Like, it's just something they have not delved into yet.
Right.
So it seems like it's getting oversaturated to us, but the reality is that it's just getting started.
It is kind of crazy because like perfume can be priced anything. There's really no standardization of that. And the independent brands, which I always think are priced commensurate to your costs and your margin within the space. And everyone's like, that's so expensive. And I'm just like, okay. Or look at like, I don't know who's expensive, like a Rojas. We can never say the name. Or like a Baccarat Rouge, Mind Games, like where things are like $400, and I'm like, and you guys have money, like,
no, it's true,
like you can move units, like why are you pricing it like this?
On the flip end of that, people don't understand that the fragrances that you usually can get for under $120 or around there, it's because tens of thousands of them are being made at one time. Like, it's much more feasible for it to be that price.
Exactly,
they're still making a killing on you, actually. So, it's not something people think about. I don't think it'll ever be either.
No.
It's just one of the mysteries of the perfume industry.
Right? Thank God this isn't an economics podcast because
it's just graphs that go nowhere.
I'm curious to know, to bring it back to Alloy, your first two scents were Silver Haze and Idyllic, correct? How, I'm always curious to know, like, it's like dropping your first album. You have your, and
that's true,
saying it like I know as if I'm a recording artist, but you have your whole life to make your first album. I'm curious to know, how did you know that Silver Haze and Idyllic were the two that you wanted to pursue, and two, when they were ready to go?
When they were ready is rough.
Yeah.
Because just didn't feel like they were ready all the way up until release. But I feel like it's all like that, kind of. Not recently, but anyway. I think we knew that those were the first two we wanted to do. I think we came across the concepts for Silver Haze and Idyllic as we were building the brand. We were like, what are the first two fragrances we want to make?
Exactly. Like, what do we want to say?
Yes.
And then I know at first, Silver Haze started off like a cocoa butter fragrance.
Oh, it was.
Yeah. It started off as cocoa butter. And then we just kind of kept on going down the line. I was like, okay, what do we want to say for our first launch? Or what do we want Alloy to even represent? And then I think we just kind of came to the point, like, you know, we're young, we're queer, and we just kind of wanted to have like fun, carefree scents. And like, even like to commemorate like our own experiences as well. So like how Silver Haze is like inspired by like a smoke session that me and Bryson used to have during COVID in the backseat of the car, covering up with trashy strawberry perfume. It probably was like Glossier You at some point. So that was the perfume that I had. But yeah, and I think just like wanting to like have something, again, I think we always go back to wanting to have something different in the market. But I think that's definitely for like Silver Haze. What do you feel like for about Idyllic?
Idyllic was really just like, I just wanted to make it.
Yeah.
I didn't really have a story for it. I didn't have a prompt necessarily. I was truly just at my desk mixing shit together. And I knew I wanted something that felt bright and warm and ambery, because amber is just always my favorite scent profile. And it wasn't until the fragrances were done that we were able to really attach meaning to them.
Yeah.
And tell a story with them as well. they didn't necessarily have anything to do with each other, which we kind of liked because it's really, you know, like we're literally just getting started and we made the things that we wanted to make. Because for all of our fragrances are released in collections of two, because it's the Alloy Studio, and Alloy is a mixture of two metals, so it's always two.
Silver. Okay, I didn't know that. Thank you.
I know. It's never until we have to like say it, but then once it's clear, it's like, yeah, that makes sense. But yeah, each collection has a theme now, but the first one really didn't. So they were just like fruity, sweet. It was what we wanted to make. I feel like they're bold. They're definitely really young feeling, almost juvenile, but I like that because that was, those are the first two children of the brand.
Yeah.
Oh,
you know,
that's so nice. Something about both of those, but I'm gonna name drop Silver Haze because it's my favorite. There are the and we love them all, but they're the perfumes that, you know, you can tell were made to just like smell good or smell pretty or be like a really beautiful rose or amber or whatever the fuck it is. And then there are ones like Silver Haze when you're like, what's this telling me? What is this? What is this trying to whisper in my ear? You can tell there's a story behind it or the concept behind it. And that's, I get that through all of your fragrances, but especially Silver Haze. It's like, I think someone is being a little bad recently.
And it's true. It's true. It's definitely not for everyone, but we decided to commit to that from the start. Nothing we make is going to be for everyone. I feel like we actually get scared if something feels a little too mass appealing or likable. It's like, do we push this far enough? It's definitely not for everyone, especially Silver Haze, but Silver Haze is the diva of the four. It's the one everybody loves, and I don't think we expected that, honestly.
Well, I love that the first descriptor when you describe the notes is trashy strawberry perfume. And like specifically trashy, I feel like when you read that, you get it.
You
understand what that means in the context. And you're right. There's the type of person who's like, ooh, why do I want to smell trashy? And then there's the type of person who's like, oh, yes, I know exactly that smell. And that's, I was that girl, or I am that girl.
It's really so true. Yeah. Like whenever I read the reviews for our fragrances, for Silver Haze, I think on Parfumo, there's two right next to each other where it's like someone said, I wore this to two of the most hedonistic parties of my life and it was so good. And then there's someone that was like, this is sharp, metallic, and disgustingly sweet. So it's like, not for everyone. You either get it or you don't.
I like that, though. I think there's, and we love mass fragrance on this show. Like, it's truly no shade to mass, but it's not even about mass fragrance, but just the, I think there's a huge fear right now in beauty at large about not being for everyone, you know, not being, and you know, I don't say accessible. We want everything to be accessible, but any friction whatsoever is so feared. And for obvious reasons, I guess, when money is the bottom line, you need to sell, et cetera. But I do like a brand that will stay 10 toes down and say, this is what it is. And it doesn't have to be for you. And that's okay.
Yeah. I mean, like, we're indie, so we really have the freedom to make and do whatever we want. We don't have shareholders above us asking for money back or saying that we need to sell X amount of whatever. It's truly just whatever we want to do. And sometimes that feels kind of scary because it's like, what do we want to do? But I think at our core, we always know what that is, which is to just make interesting things and experiment and have fun. So that's always what we're going to do.
What are the challenging parts, if any?
Of being an indie brand?
Yeah.
On that same vein, definitely like not having funding and having all these like big ideas. Like, yes, we love to do campaigns for the brand, but those have a very big dollar amount attached to them.
I mean, they look it, so...
Good.
I think it's like even on the cheap, they're expensive. And I'm not saying you do them on the cheap, but it's like even a small campaign is a big campaign.
There's no way to do them for cheap. Like that's not good. Unless you're getting it done for absolutely free, which is crazy and a blessing, but that's not the case for us. But you know, like even with that lack of funding and having all these big ideas, we committed from the start, like, we're just gonna take our time. I always used to say at the beginning, like, we want to bake, not microwave. And it's been nice to see the dough rise over the years where we're just able to do more step by step and like year by year and month by month, because we're just taking our time.
Yeah. And I think like the hardest part was really starting Alloy and like that whole concept, like obviously to bring it back to funding, like that's always going to be the biggest thing. Because like when we first founded Alloy, our first order was literally only 25 bottles. We didn't even have our 2 ml samples until like 6 months.
Oh, it was
in,
crazy.
Six to 9 months in. And keep in mind, me and Bryson, we were still working our full-time jobs. So like we're literally self-funding, putting our money aside just to build the brand. So funding is always going to be the hardest thing for an indie brand, definitely.
Yes, we were bankrolling everything ourselves and trying to live and pay rent in New York City. Like, it was crazy. Oh, yeah.
That's real.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Stable and I brought you here because we want to invest. So
I was the one in a finance podcast. Yeah.
Today it is. We've had few, but some frank conversations with perfumers and brand founders about the funding of it all. And we had a conversation about samples with another perfumer, and they were just like, samples are expensive. They cost a lot of time, a lot of labor, a lot of money. And the truth of it is, we often just can't afford to do it. And people are still banging down our doors to make samples, which is understandable. But then it's sort of like, if you're, I don't want to say if you, you know, buy the sample, but don't buy the fragrance, it's pointless. But it was just like, there's a whole other side of, yes, we want this, but as a brand, does it make sense for us too? So it's interesting. You know, it's like, there's more to the story.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we like to talk about it because I think it's easy to just assume that things are a certain way without peeking behind the curtain and really knowing how it works. Because when we started the brand and we started to like actually understand how all this works, come across other brands and other founders and see new brands launch after us, which I feel like is still kind of weird because we still feel like we're like brand new. And seeing what they're able to do, but knowing that it's that funding piece.
Yeah.
You know, it gives you a lot more context into how all of it really works, especially when you're an indie brand or even if you're just interested in indie brands.
Yeah.
There's so much delve into it.
Totally. I know. I'll see like a new indie brand launch and they have their 2 ml vials that are screen printed with the individual names. And I'm just like, must be nice.
No, like you came ready. Yeah. I love that for you. I love that for you.
It's like you can have funding, but not everyone has style. So
see, that's also true. Let's not wake that up though.
They're not ready for that one. Speaking of like other perfumers, maybe that was a damning lead, but there's been a lot of conversation in the industry, on this podcast, frankly, and on the boards, whatever, about a traditionally taught perfumer and a self-taught perfumer and the merits and validity of each or neither. And as a self-taught perfumer, we would love to understand what your take is on that.
I think it's really great that there's so many new perfumers. And I say that with bias because I'm one of them. You know, I was able to teach myself perfumery. Still to this day, I've never taken a class anywhere or done an apprenticeship under anyone. It's just all been me, but also learning in community as well, as I've truly become a part of the perfume community and I've met other perfumers and I've been able to have conversations with people and just like whiteboard, like, you know, you do this. Okay, well, I do this. And, you know, I think it's great that there's so many newcomers into perfumery because when I was getting started, I decided to teach myself because I knew that going somewhere to take a class was not an option for me because I couldn't afford it. So I just did what I could afford. And I don't even think at the time, I wasn't focused on I'm going to become a perfumer, I'm going to learn how to do this, and I'm going to launch a product, and I'm going to have a brand and have a business. I was just doing it because I was interested. And I think that's something that I invite anyone to do. If you're curious and you have that spark in your mind, I don't think there's anything wrong with learning about perfume and dipping your toe in perfumery just to experiment and have fun. Now with that, I think if your intention is to start a business and sell a product, safety is so important. You simply have to pay attention to the IFRA. You have to know your materials like the back of your hand. You have to put in your 10,000 hours of learning this craft, just like you would any other art mm-hmm. form. I just think that's very important. You can do that and be self-taught. It's very much possible. I just think you have to do your diligence if you're coming into this with the intention to sell a product and mix things together and have people put it on their skin. Mm-hmm. Super important.
Yeah.
Fair.
But yeah, I think because of all these newcomers, there's a lot of creativity that comes out of it. You know, I think from now and onward, forever, it seems like, because I can only imagine it's only going to grow. We're going to see so many new ideas and different takes and disruptors like come into perfumery.
Yeah, it's going to be really exciting to see now that perfume is as big as it is. I mean, like you said, it's like you still feel like the newcomer, but there are people who have come in after you. It's like only imagine what, you know, the people who are growing up, I don't want to say just watching the content as if that's all perfume is, but, you know, in Sephora, in the perfume stores, watching the content, whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah.
And then finding that passion for themselves. So it's going to be cool. Speaking of the future, we are looking at two vials in front of us.
No. And
I'm wondering if you are allowed to maybe tell us what they are. And I think we might have a Smellulator exclusive on our hands.
Ooh. You do.
Yeah.
We are allowed. We decided. We told ourselves that we're allowed. But yeah, so we do have a new collection coming out in a week and a half. Not even a week and some change.
Yeah.
It's a really big deal. Like, we put a lot of labor and love into releasing new fragrances. Mm-hmm. And I think we're really excited for these because we're able to make another statement. This collection's name is going to be called Aphrodisiac. And it has two fragrances, silver and gold, of course. The silver fragrance being Faux, and the gold fragrance is Luster. Starting with Faux, I think this one is really interesting because it takes inspiration from a woman named Danielle Luna. Mm-hmm. She was the first Black supermodel and just one of the first supermodels, period. But she's pretty unsung. No one ever really seems to know about her. And she was a surrealist. She was kind of in her own world. She was kind of esoteric, but so beautiful and alien-esque, and kind of just evokes like the spirit of the brand in a way to us, but also just old glamour. Mm-hmm. Faux is a fur coat fragrant with a little bit of peach and some incense.
Ooh. Okay. I'm getting it. What is, if you can, what's like the fur note? What's giving fur coat in here? Like, what might that be? Is it like a musk or a mink?
Yeah, it's like a musk cocktail, a few different types of musk with a touch of an animalic note, mostly just because I'm not a huge animalics person. And whenever we're making fragrances, it's still down to our taste. So like, if we don't like something, it just won't be made. But yeah, it's like a musk cocktail, a little bit of an animalic touch with some suede. So like, you have the inner lining of the coat and then you have actual fur. It comes out much more in the dry down where you really just feel like you have something fuzzy on your neck. It's really fun.
It's so good. Yeah. Now, what about, I'm very, very curious about Luster.
Okay. Oh. So Luster is supposed to be sweet potato vibe. It's fun. A gourmand, which we weren't going to do.
Yeah.
But that what Luster is interesting because of the sweet potato. Mm-hmm. Whenever we're making a fragrance, we always start with, is there anything like this? Does this exist already?
Yeah.
We were like, surely there has to be a sweet potato fragrance somewhere. And there's really not, especially particularly a sweet potato gourmand fragrance. Mm-hmm. Luster starts with that starchy pop of sweet potato. And then you get some condensed milk, burnt sugar, pie crust, and then a whipped vanilla. Even though it's gourmand, it's not a heavy, decadent gourmand. It has some weightlessness to it that makes it feel really wearable. It doesn't feel like pie to the face.
So it's sweet potato, not sweet potato pie.
Sweet potato pie.
Oh, it is sweet potato pie. Oh my God, I love pie. playing anything around there.
But yeah, super, super curious to know what you think. No one has smelled Luster other than Jake and Matt at Stell. And then like whatever other people that have been at Stell that were like fortunate to be in the while I was there. So yeah, I think that one's interesting.
I can't wait to smell it.
And I feel like it's so timely because somehow like sweet potato and buttercost cheese has been a really popular TikTok food. And while in the middle of us making it and like finishing it, we're like, why is sweet potato low-key blowing up? That's funny.
It'll be well-timed.
We're excited to put them out. No, I feel like they're really fun. And it's like another new era.
Feels good.
Exactly.
I love this new duo. I feel like they get like stronger and stronger concept-wise. So
yeah,
it's just like very fun and unexpected.
Yeah, we didn't even get into the whole rabbit hole of the concept for this collection, but we really based these fragrances on the art movement, which is Afro-Surrealism. Mm. Afro-Surrealism is not really known. It's a relatively new conceptual art movement that was founded by D. Scott Miller in 2009. And it was always being misconstrued with Afro-Futurism, which is why it never really picked up into mainstream conversation. But Afro-Surrealism kind of just gives a name to the contemporary Black aesthetic and lifestyle. And there's been so many Afro-Surrealists in history that haven't really been able to have a name put to their identities. Yeah. Like when you think of Prince, like he is kind of like a pinnacle of Afro-Surrealism because he was like neither a woman nor a man, very confusing at the time, very kind of reinvented his genre that he was singing in and really just lived a life and created things that could not be pinned down. And that's what Afro-Surrealism is all about. And I feel like it really is kind of like the perfect descriptor for the Alloy Studio and like us as artists too. So we wanted to make a collection that define that succinctly.
That's so unique. I do feel like more people making sense about items of clothing. I like that as someone who sort of did that. But faux is funny because like as a scent based on a fur coat, it's like a faux fur coat, which is funny.
Yeah.
It's cheeky.
I took it out of the little, it is cheeky. I took it out of the little bag they sent and I saw it spelled F-A-U-X and I was like, now, what does this mean? Or, you know, or what kind of fault are we talking? And it was, you know, the most fun I could have imagined. So really excited about that. A lot of people, I am becoming allergic to the word intention in any, as we actually discussed last episode, in any, you know, beauty period, any marketing for reasons we have mentioned. But not to be a total hypocrite, but this brand, for all the reasons that we have just discussed with them, feels very intentional in a way that makes me excited. We know how hard brand visuals are to create. You know how hard a fragrance is to create. Both of us know nothing about running a brand, but
I'm sure it's hard.
It seems like it really feels like that comes from Alloy is very considered and thought through in a way that really makes it a whole picture. And I really enjoyed their first four. I'm really excited that we got the exclusive on the upcoming two. And I think these are really going to thrill people.
Like sweet potato pie?
Come on.
I mean, you had me at sweet potato, but then once you said pie, I'm there.
No, I can't wait to see the campaign. I can't wait to see the reception and reaction. And yeah, I mean, I think they're definitely one to watch. Of all the brands that are hustling right now, Alloy is certainly one to keep an eye on.
Yeah, they're doing really cool, unique stuff that I don't think it's like very uniquely considered is what I think. I'm trying to avoid the word intentional, of course, but like.
Yeah, sorry, me immediately blurting it out.
No, but you're right. I think it gets used so much now that it doesn't mean anything anymore. Because it's like, we know you meant to do that, but like, why? Anyway, you should check them out. They're at Stell and their own.com, alloystudio.com.
Which is the alloystudio.com. Check them out. Check them out on socials. There's definitely a lot to sink your teeth into. We think you'll enjoy it.
Yeah. You can also find us at our website, slayleader.live, where you can leave us a voice note on our hotline and you can find our merch. You can follow us on Instagram. We're at smellyoulater.np3. I'm at Sabletooth Tigra.
I'm at Tynan Buck. And until next time, we will smell you later.